Good evening. It is good to see everyone that is able to be out this evening. And to go along with the announcements, I'd just like to remind everyone how we feel when other gospel, whenever other congregations come and encourage us in our gospel meeting, how it helps us and encourages us in the service that we're having and increases our numbers. Let's keep that in mind as all these other gospel meetings are going on, and let's do what we can. I know there are times where going to a gospel meeting you're tired, but I can't think over the almost 38 years of my life where I've gone to gospel meetings where I've ever come away not having felt better than before I went. So let's do what we can. There's a number of meetings in the area that we need to try and to help encourage them, and that will encourage them to return the favor to us when our gospel meeting is coming up in May. Lord willing, I'll have some announcements for us in the next week that we can begin passing out. Also, there's a lecture going to be Saturday, May 16th. It's actually 15th through the 17th at the Laurel Canyon congregation just outside of Columbus. We went last year to the Saturday, and they did an excellent job. It's focused primarily on the youth, but they do have a class. When they break up into classes, they have a class for parents. So it's just a wonderful thing for if you've got anyone teenage or up that you'd like to go. We're going to try and go, Lord willing, that Saturday. We'll have room for a few folks, and I'd like to encourage anyone who can to go to that, especially of the younger crowd. All right, as we began talking this morning about the woman who is a godly woman, we noted that first and foremost there is a difference between male and female, regardless of what the world today, they want to close that gap, they want to change it, they want to make it where everything's just the same. And in the beginning, we noted that God created them male and female. He gave them physical differences, some that you can't see, some that you can. And as we noted, when we're looking at the men, the female sex is the weaker sex. And that's not to say that they're less worthy, that they're not some are not as strong physically. But generally, there are differences between male and female. And one of the things that I find that we need to do as Christians, we need to embrace the roles that God has given to us. We need to quit trying to find some other way to do things. We need to quit trying to reinvent the wheel and just accept God set these things up in the beginning. If we believe in God, if we believe in the Bible, then we need to believe in His wisdom as He points these things out, the differences between male and female. We noted that woman was made as a helper suitable, a help meet. The King James Version reads, someone that's comparable, someone that works together with the male. Once again, it's not being presented as a servant or a lesser role, but someone who works with them. As Louis the Moore always said, someone who walks beside the man, not behind the man. And we need to look at these things. We noted in Genesis chapter 3 that primarily the woman has been given responsibility of raising the children and keeping the house, whereas the man was given the role of providing for his family. And the reason many women have to go into the workforce is because the man is not taking his full responsibility in that, or they're trying to live beyond what they need. And I think a lot of times if we just pare back and go, well, I don't need the bigger house, I don't need the nicer car, I don't need the boat, I don't need all of these things, we might find that we can live on a smaller income. We noted also this morning, and I want to take just a few moments to look at these things again, in Proverbs 7 and also in Proverbs 31, a comparison between two different types of women. We noted in Proverbs chapter 7, the one that was presented as wearing the clothing of a harlot, verse 10, and cunning of heart. She was boisterous. She was out in the street. She was trying to seduce the young man. And we noted at the end there in Proverbs 7 and verse 27 that her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. And when we look at that, we can see the worldly idea of womanhood. One who is concerned with her beauty only, one that is concerned with the gratification of the flesh. And we compare that with Proverbs chapter 31. As we look there and we see the virtuous woman, the excellent wife, as the New American Standard Bible reads, whose worth is high above rubies, above jewels. And we noted that at the end of that passage in Proverbs 31, there in verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, one of the things I want to talk about just real quickly before we get into the remainder of the lesson is, you know, as young men, I'll be the first to admit, you look for the prettiest girl, right? That's oftentimes, well, she's got to be beautiful. She's got to be gorgeous. She's got to be the... And that's just the way that we go. And oftentimes that seems to be our highest thing. She's got to be beautiful. If we're going to have someone who's going to help us on the road to salvation, then we need to drop beauty. Now, I'm not saying you have to drop it completely off the list. But we need to focus on, is she a righteous individual? Is she one that is like this virtuous woman? Is she one that years on, the children and the husband will rise up and call her blessed? That's what we need to focus on. And not focus so much on the outward appearance. Because as we've noted, the outward appearance is vain. The outward appearance will fade away. But we need to be more concerned with the means of good works, as is proper for women proclaiming godliness, as we saw in 1 Timothy chapter 2, there in verses 9 and 10. Now, as we continue looking at the lesson, we noted several examples, looking at those that were among the most evil women in the Bible, and those that we can look at as examples. And we need to be presenting these women as role models for our daughters. I mean, you think of who are the role models that are available for our daughters today? Hannah Montana? Seriously? That's the role model we're going to put up for our young women? It doesn't take very long looking and seeing, well, she's even been sending out inappropriate pictures. These are the role models that we allow our children to look up to. We need to be focusing, telling them of Deborah, the only female judge that led the Israelites. Victory was through a woman during the reign of Deborah. The wife of Jael brought victory to the Israelites through her efforts. When we look at Ruth and Esther, we can find so many. Mary, Elizabeth, Priscilla. So many women that had such a profound effect. And we need to be teaching these to our young daughters and letting them understand that these are the true role models that they should be looking for. Now, as we finish out our lesson, we want to note the role of women. And once again, as I present these things, it's really... You always present things such as this with a little bit of trepidation. You never know how people are going to take it because we live in a society where it's filled with feminism and you never know how someone's going to take it. But once again, these are what I believe the Scriptures teach, not the teachings of Tim Henderson. This is not what I would come up with. This is what the Scriptures teach, and we need to accept it as that. Once again, we noted that in the main role of woman, that she is to be a helpmeet for man. Ruth Hazelwood, I like going to a woman and looking at her point of view in these things. She said, God created woman for a purpose, to fill a special need, not as a competitor, but as a helper suited to Him. She is to be a complement to Him. This is from her book, The Challenge of Being a Wife. She goes on to say that each supplies characteristics and qualities to help bring out the best in the other. Women have greater potential for influence in this role than any other. I mean, think about it. When you look at all the great ones that have come in this world, who had the biggest influence on them? Their father? No. Oftentimes their father is working, providing for the family, and not able to be there as much. You look in the Scriptures. Who had the biggest influence on Moses? His dad? No. From what we can see in the Scriptures, he never even knew his father until he was older. His mother. You look at Timothy, and we see that Timothy is a fine, upstanding young man. He's someone that's devout in the Scriptures. He has a good understanding of the Old Testament Scriptures. He obeys the gospel. Why? Where did that faith come from? From the teaching of the Old Testament Scriptures. Who taught him? His grandmother and his mother. We need to understand that that you women have a responsibility and you have a great opportunity for influence. Above and beyond the influence of the class teachers, of anything in this world. And as I talked to the fathers, and I noted, you know, we really need to take our responsibility as being the teachers of the Word of God. We need to take it seriously. As mothers, we need to lay aside certain things that are inhibiting our raising of our daughters, our raising of our children. We need to lay those things aside and focus on that which matters. And make sure that we're teaching them of God. Because as we can see through the school systems, they're being taught against God. God is being removed. God is being actively fought against. And we need to be understanding the role. She's a helpmeet for man, and she has a great opportunity there. We also note, and this is one that many, this just burns. Once again, this isn't the words of Tim Henderson. This isn't my idea. I didn't come up with this. Once again, if we're going to accept the Bible, we've got to accept all of its teachings. She is to be in submission to man. Once again, with modern woman today, this just really grates. This is just too much. Oh, I'm with you up into that. But no. Folks, we need to understand as Christians, I don't care if you're male or female, it involves submission. So we look in 1 Timothy chapter 2, there in verse 11. It says, a woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. It's important for us to look at these things. To receive instruction. The Greek word here involves tranquility that arises from within and has to do with a disposition or an attitude, such as we can see in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, that hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. This is talking about the woman. And that's the idea that Paul is presenting here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, this quietly receiving instruction with entire submissiveness. The same basic idea is found in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 2, and he talks to of all men to live a quiet life, quiet, peaceful life. We need to understand that teaching or usurping authority over the man is not allowed. Once again, this is hard for us to grasp. We don't want to accept it, but that's the way that it is. Does that mean that a woman can't teach a man? Well, no, when you look at Priscilla and Aquila. Who took part in the teaching of Apollos? Priscilla. They both worked together. She worked with her husband in teaching him. And Paul gives us the reason why. He says, for it was Adam who was first created and then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. These are the things that God has set up from the very beginning. And once again, this is a difficult thing to accept. No one likes to accept that they can't have authority, that they're in submission to someone. And I'll be the first one to say, a lot of men, it's just hard to be in submission to them. They don't deserve the respect. But we can see that there are ways that they can go about teaching. If you would turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter presents a way that women can teach their husbands, and really this principle can apply to anyone without ever saying a word. And this is a principle I have seen borne out time and time and time again. In 1 Peter chapter 3, there in verse 1, Peter writes, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. As they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. One story that has just stuck in my memory from the first time I was told was a lady that lived in Illinois where I was born, where my father first started preaching there in Pekin. She had, if memory serves me correctly, she had five boys. And every Sunday when she left, her husband said, if you're going to church, don't come home. And she left with those five boys, many times in tears, going to church. Sunday night, same story. You go into church, don't bother coming home. She left. Went to church, dragging those five boys. Wednesday night, same story. If you're going to church, she never said a word to her husband. And I remember, I don't remember her going, but I remember after we had moved and my father and mother received a phone call, her husband has obeyed the gospel. Why? Because he saw the steadfast faith of his wife. She didn't have to utter a word. She let him know, God is most important in my life. So yes, you can be in submission to your husband. You can be respectful, but there's still teaching that can be done. You can teach by your manner of life. Unfortunately, we teach a muddled gospel, do we not? male and female across the board. We say one thing and then we act in a different way. We're like the Pharisees. We bind heavy burdens, but we won't lift them with our own finger. On the outside, we're whitewashed tombs, but inside we're filled with dead men's bones. The outside of the cup is clean, but the inside is disgusting. As women and men, we need to make sure that we're living our lives in such a way that people can look and see they believe in God. God is of the greatest importance to them, and that means something. As we sing the song, "We are the only gospel the careless world will read." You women need to understand that if your husband is not a member of the church, the example that you set, he's watching you. He's paying attention to everything you say, everything you do. And he can be saved if you live your life in the way that you should. We also see that they can teach by precept in Titus chapter 2. And I noted that there's been a breakdown in the fathers teaching the children. That's why we have churches that are hemorrhaging its young people. But there's also a breakdown in what Paul presents here for the older women. He says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored." The thing you women need to ask yourself, what am I teaching my daughters? Do they see me in submission to my husband? If they don't, then they're going to grow up with the attitude, "Well, I don't have to be in submission to my husband." Do they see in your example, in the way that you live and the things that you say, that you have a love for your husband? Do they? Then they're not going to grow up to understand the need to love their husband. You see, they learn by watching. As we talked about, Austin, he copies me. I'll say something. I said the other day, "Dude," and the next thing I heard, "Dude." We have to watch what we say and watch what we do. Our young daughters are watching you. And as they see that your sole idea of what makes a woman is to going out and getting a career, then they're not going to love their children. Their children are going to be a burden. If they felt like they were a burden to you, their children are going to be a burden to them. That's why we're in the state that we're in. That's why women today can come up and they go, "It's just a mass of tissue," because that's the way they felt to their mother. Their mother didn't care one way or the other how they lived or if they lived. You older women have been given the responsibility to teach the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands. Why? So that the word of God will not be dishonored. You older women, are you being that example? Just like I said, the men are commanded to love their wives, and if they don't, they're breaking a commandment. This is something that is an instruction to the older women. And you older women better take that responsibility seriously. Because we will all face judgment for the effect that we had on others, for the good or for the bad. We need to think about these things. Now here's one that, especially when you're talking about this in the South, people go, "Oh, he just wants people to be barefoot and pregnant. That's the idea." No. When we look at the Scriptures, these are the things that were set up by God. This is the way that God intended to end the beginning. In Genesis 3, verse 16, "To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." That's the Word of God. That's the way God set it up in the very beginning of time. That idea has remained forever. No matter what the covenant might be that we're under, that remains. Once again, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, as the Apostle Paul is instructing Timothy in how to deal with the widows, he said if they're over the age of 60 and they meet these requirements, they can be taken into the fold. But he says, "I want younger women to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach." Mary, why? Why do they need to get... Because she's man's complement. As we saw in our prior lesson, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2, "Because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband." That's the way it was set up. Man and woman is to be joined together in the bond of marriage. And what God has joined, let not man rend asunder. Let not man separate. But what do we teach our young women? Perhaps we teach them, go out and get the best education money can buy so that you don't have to depend upon a man. That goes against scriptural teaching. I'm not against women being educated. I fully believe in women receiving the best education they can. But the idea of don't be depending on a man, why not? What's so bad about that? That's what the scriptures teach. Younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house. Give the enemy no occasion for reproach. Folks, we need to understand these things. She's there to bear children because that's the design that was given to her. If it had been for Eve taking of that fruit, it wouldn't have been so painful. She's there to keep and guide the house because that is her primary function as a homemaker. If we go back to Proverbs chapter 31 and look, what is the primary job, the primary responsibility, the primary thing we see in this woman? Not only is she caring for the needy, the distaffed, the sick, but first and foremost, she's caring for her family. They have clothes to wear, the right clothes for the right season. They have food to eat. Everything is there. She rises early to make sure that everything in her house is taken care of. That is the woman that her husband and her children will rise up and call her blessed. You know, we need to understand it's not a bad thing to be a woman. Be glad you are a woman. Be glad you have been given the role, the responsibilities that God has given you. What's the most important thing that you can do? Become a rocket scientist? A great painter? President of the United States? Miss Ruth Hazelwood says, while all these have a place of importance, it is of far greater value to be a good homemaker and have a part in molding and developing the character of our future citizens. Your opportunity to be of benefit to society is greater in the home than in any other realm or capacity. But this goes against the ideas that are being set forth in the world today. Be glad you are a woman. Accept the responsibilities that God has set forth with you. Accept the roles. Accept the place. Once again, being a child of God requires us to understand and to accept the role of submission. Jesus Christ was the perfect example of submission, was He not? He's the Son of God. But what did He do? He came to this earth and He was in subjection to His mother and His father. Joseph said, Jesus, clean your room. Jesus went and cleaned His room. We read as He grew up, He grew in favor of man and God. While He was here upon this earth preaching, He still remained in subjection to the powers that be, rendering to Caesar the taxes that are due to Caesar. He could have called legions of angels, but He submitted Himself to that cruel death upon the cross. Oh, I'll do a lot of things, but I won't submit. If it were not for the submission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we would all be lost. He's not asking anything of you that He didn't do Himself. Once again, these are the words of God. This is not the writings of some 5th century BC individual who had the idea that women were second-class citizens. We either believe all the Bible or we throw the whole thing out. We need to accept these things. We need to obey them. Perhaps you're here and you've not accepted your role as a woman. Perhaps you've not accepted your role as a mother, as a wife. Your soul is in danger. You're going against the plan that God set forth. Perhaps you're here as a man and you've mistreated the woman. You've made her to feel like a second-class citizen. Then you've broken what we've talked about before in loving and honoring and cherishing your wife. You see, when the man is what God wants him to be, it's not that big of a deal to be in submission to that man, is it? Because he's going to love, he's going to honor, he's going to cherish you. He's going to care for you. He's going to put your needs before his own. Perhaps you're here, you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. without submitting yourself to the will of God, salvation cannot be found. Salvation is found through obeying His gospel. We read in the Scriptures, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. It's that simple. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you understand that there are sins, there are things in your life that separate you from God? Then come forward and confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins and humbly submit yourself to God's will in obeying His gospel in baptism. He'll make you a child of His and live your life in humble submission for the rest of your days. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, but you've refused to submit to all of the will of God. Under the old law, if you were guilty of one point, you were guilty of the whole law. It hasn't changed, folks. If we're guilty of part of the commandment of God to us today, we're guilty of it all. One sin, lying, cheating, will bring us into the fires of hell just like any of the worst things that you can think of. The invitation is offered to you this evening to make your life right with God. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. There's no guarantee of next week, next month. We have today. Today is the day of salvation. If you would, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.